All right, go with me now, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Our text tonight will be verses 30 and 31. And I saw something in verse 31 that I personally have never considered in this way. And it made this verse really come alive to me. And I'm excited to tell it to you. So I hope the Lord will bless it. I hope He'll make it clear. Let's begin by reading verse 31. Romans 8, verse 31. It says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" If God be for us, then who can be against us? If, as Moses told the people, this is what he said. He said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. If the battle is the Lord's," if it is the Lord's, "and if He's fighting for us, then who is going to defeat Him?" If He's fighting. I love how whenever He revealed Himself to, I believe it was Joshua, Joshua said, "Are you for us or them?" He said, "I'm the captain of the host. I'm the first man in." He said, "I'm not for either one. I'm the Lord's man. He is first into the battle. He must win the battle. If the battle is the Lord's and He is fighting for us, if God be for us, who can be against us?" When I read that, I thought of some songs, and we just sang them. I wrote down these songs, and we just sang them. We sang, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast." And we know what the greatest stormy blast is: the blast of God's wrath on sin. "Our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home." We just sang, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." Verse 3, I believe it is, said, "Did we in our own strength confide?" Which is what man naturally does. He wants to confide in his own strength. "Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath is His name. From age to age, the same." And when I wrote that down, I enjoyed that. "From age to age, the same. As we know Him to be, as we know that He was, that's how He is. That's how He will always be. From age to age, the same." Martin Luther wrote, "And He must win the battle." And He will win the battle. And He has won the battle. "If God be for us, then no one, nothing can prevail against us." And the one that I'm most happy to hear that about is this one right here, my own self. "I will not even be able to bring my own self down into destruction, no matter how hard I try in the flesh." And I try pretty hard, but I can't defeat Him. I just cannot do it. While I was dwelling on this verse, I thought about the story of David and Goliath. The entire army of Israel was scared to fight. You know, they were lined up, and it was a standoff. They were all of them scared to fight. They all knew that they were no match for this great Philistine army. And the greatest adversary of that army, that great giant named Goliath, he walked out and he was taunting Israel. He said, "You send one man down to fight with me. One man to represent the whole nation." That's what he was saying. Send one man to represent the whole nation. Whatever happens right here, it'll happen to the whole nation. He said, whoever loses, the whole nation will be the servant, the captive of the other side. And every man in Israel knew that he could not win. Every man, as he heard that declaration go out, every man knew that he could not win but one. One man, the son of Jesse, David, God's anointed king of the people. The one who was seemingly a tender plant. That's what everybody thought he was. He just looked like a root out of dry ground. He said, "Send me." In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will. And by himself, he marched straight into that battle. He set his face like a flint. Wouldn't you love to have seen that? He set his face like a flint, and with a flint, a smooth stone, he defeated the enemy. One mighty blow, once. By himself, once. He slayed the enemy and he set all of his people free. That is exactly what Christ did on the cross for us. That is the battle that he by himself fought for us. All of his people knew we can't win this battle. We'll die. But one man went in and slew the enemy and won the battle. Won the battle over sin, won the battle over death. Won the battle over death. Fought death and won. Won the battle over hell. That's the eternal victory that he's given to us. Now, with that being said, let me show you what stood out to me about this verse. One word got my attention. Verse 31 says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us." That word "for," I just kept looking at that word "for." If God be for us. You look up the definitions of these words, and here's one of the definitions of that word. It means for the sake of. That's what it means. For the sake of. And I pray the Lord will make this clear to us. My heart has been rejoicing over that. I pray He'll make this so clear. If God be for the sake of us. If God be for the sake of us. Now let's see if we can emphasize it in this way. Turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Now, there are commandments just like what we're about to read all through the Scripture. The whole chapter of Ephesians 4 is full of them. I was going to read the whole chapter, but there's other things I want to read. So we'll let these last two verses summarize the type of commandments that the whole chapter is given. Verse 31, Ephesians 4, 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another. Why? So you can be saved? Do all that so you can be saved? Is that the motivation? Is that why we strive to do all these things? So that we can be saved? No. Christ has already won that battle. That battle's over. That's already settled in heaven forever. He cried from the cross, "It is finished." And what he meant by that was, the battle is over. It's over. Salvation is complete. Peace with God has been made. Captivity has been led captive. So that work is finished. Well, then why would we do that? If that's the case, why would we do those things? Why would we have a heart and a desire to do those things? The end of verse 32 says, for Christ's sake. That's why, verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We desire to do these things, and we strive to do these things for Christ's sake. That's the only reason. It's because we love Him. We desire to honor Him. Nothing pleases a forgiven, redeemed, blessed of God sinner more than bestowing their all unto Him. And I'm going to repeat that. Nothing pleases a redeemed, forgiven, blessed of God sinner. Nothing pleases that sinner more than bestowing his all unto Him. All unto Him. Does anything give you more joy, honestly, than saying and crying from the heart, not unto us, O Lord, not unto the us. All of it goes to you. Does anything give you more joy than that? All of it. All of it is unto you. Everything that I am, everything that I have, everything that I do is unto you. It's all of it. For your sake. All of it. Can you say that that is the desire of your redeemed soul? I'm not talking about the old man, sinful flesh that we're still dragging around. Can you honestly say that's the desire of your redeemed soul and your only plea before God? That's the only plea before God for Christ's sake. Dear Heavenly Father, it's all for Christ's sake. That's the only plea I have. That's my only plea before you. That's the only desire of my heart, for Christ's sake. As His humble people, we can say that, can't we? Well, listen to this. In the regenerated man, that new regenerated man that has been given to us and created in us, everything that we do, everything that we are, everything that we have is for Christ's sake. And being made one with Him, because we have been made one with Him, everything He does, everything that He is, and everything that He has is for our sake. That's what Paul meant. That is scratching the surface of what he meant, the depth of what he was saying when he said, if God be for us, if God be for the sake of us, we approach that with such great fear and trembling. We acknowledge that all things are by Him, through Him, to Him, for Him. It's all unto Him. All of it. It's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. But by His sacrifice for us, He has included us in every bit of it. All of it is unto Him. But because of what he did for us, he has included us in every bit of it. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich." Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Our brother quoted this for us this morning. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 13, it says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace," you talk about abundant grace, "might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Look back with me at Romans 8. We've quoted it quite a few times now, but verse 17 says, "Joint heirs." Verse 29 that we read it this morning, "Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son." The scripture says, "As he is, so are we." In John 17, our Lord prayed to his Father, and this is what he said, "I'm in you, and you're in me, and my desire is that they might be in us, one with us." That's amazing. One with us. Everything he has done from eternity to eternity is for his glory and is for the sake of his people. God is self-sufficient. He's self-sufficient. That means God is in need of nothing. God does not need man's presence. I remember the first time I really got a hold of that. God does not need man's presence. God does not need man's praise. God is not bettered. He is not increased. He is not exalted more because of anything that involved us. God was already highly exalted, and he brought himself down from that. We read for the scripture reading, Philippians 2. He brought himself down from that. God was already increased, and he gave it all away. Eternal life was his from eternity past. But he made himself to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Everything that he's done, he has done it for our sake. Everything he has done. That has to be the most awe-filled thing that could ever enter our mind. Everything he has done is so humbling. Everything that we do is because we love him. And everything that he has done is because he loves us. He has commended his love to us. That's where he put his love. Greater love had no man than him. He has it all. He does it all, and He is all. And He said, all of it. I'm giving all of it to them. All of it is for their sake. Verse 29 says, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. And He personally was in need of none of that. None of it. Every bit of that was for their sake. By grace, through faith in Christ, our sake. Our sake. Now here's the question of the hour, okay? Verse 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? How can you possibly respond to that? What words could we possibly use that would be an adequate response to that? The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12, there are none. There are none. He said, it's not possible. He said, I heard things from the mouth of God concerning the will and the purpose and the desire of God. God Himself, Jesus Christ, taught Paul the gospel. And what that means is God declared to him the glorious news of what He purposed in Himself to do for His people. And Paul listened to that. He said, I sat there watching the lips of God Almighty tell me the glorious news of what He purposed to do for His people. Everything that was in His heart, everything that was in His will. And he said, it is not possible for a man's mouth to say anything in response. You can't repeat it. It's not lawful for a man's mouth to utter. What could we possibly say to these things? This is it. This is all we can say. If God be for us, there's the only response we can have. If everything that God is and everything that God has and everything that God has done, if He did all of this, all of it, for our sake, if God be for us, then who can be against us? If that is His heart's desire, then He's going to have it. And the reason is because He's God. He's God Almighty, and He's going to have His way. Now, let me close this message. Let's hear from His own mouth Him being for us, all right? This is Him in the favor of us. Turn with me over to John 17. We'll close with this. This is Him praying for our sake. John 17, verse 1, it says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And we do, don't we? We believe God the Father sent him. Verse 9, he said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Watch verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. I sanctify myself. I set myself apart for holy use for their sake, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What an amazing. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. What he said in that prayer was, Father, we chose them. We have predestinated them. We have called them. We have justified them. And it is my will and desire that we might glorify them. Now, what shall we say to these things? That was the high priestly prayer. What shall we say to these things? Here's all we can say. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. All right, let's all stand together.